I went into the kitchen and saw, I think, Peter and others handing out Christmas cards and said, these are £1 each, to which Gail says, no, no, they are £1.25 to send in the post. And I would suggest that you don't send Christmas cards, but that you bring them to the fellowship here and put them on the table at the back, and we just do an exchange rather than put them in the post. I think it's unbelievable. £1.20. What do you think of that, Ali? Shocking. Anyway, bless you. I had to sit my driving test 3 times. Why was that, I wonder? I never had a formal lesson. And I thought, I drove a motorbike, I'll be all right, I'll get through pretty easy. And it was the 3rd time before the guy said, well, Mr. Ingalls, you have passed, but this is only the start, of course, because you need the experience of the road, and you need to realize it's other people may make mistakes, and you have to anticipate, and all this kind of stuff. And right enough, the highway code is a book of rules, and of course, it's quite comforting when you keep the rules, but of course, almost every driver in this room will probably have broken the highway code this week. Oh, but yes, you were over 30 miles an hour in a built-up zone. You did 72 miles an hour on the dual carriageway. You even crossed a double white line because there was a tree branch that was blown across the road, and I thought, there's nothing coming, I'll take a chance on it. And of course, keeping the rules is very comforting, and it means that you have achieved something. You've kept your nose clean, as it were, and you're doing okay, keeping the rules. The children of Israel were enslaved in pagan Egypt. They saw the great variety of gods. Amun, the great god of Thebes, Anubis, the jackal god, the patron of embalmers. Aten, the god of the sun disk. Horus, the falcon deity. Seth, the god of storms and violence. And it goes on and on and on. Lots of pagan gods, each with their own particular responsibility or shadow in the situation. But of course, Apis, the bull god, this is significant. Apis, the bull god would be decorated with horns, decorated, and there would be the processional down the line of the Sphinx on either side. It's a national holiday as we worship Apis, the bull god. So, children of Israel, Hebrews, you're not enslaved today, you're free today. Join the crowds, celebrate Apis, the bull god. I remember looking at a book on Egyptian archaeology, and here was this huge embalmer's table made of solid alabaster. And this was for the mummification of the bull god Apis. And they would mummify it and in a great processional again put it in a tomb with all the ceremonial as the god would require. So they were very much aware that paganism was everywhere. And yet, the Bible makes it clear that they retained their identity. In the delta of the Nile, in the land of Goshen, they were there in their own communities. And they recognized that even as the plagues around them touched the Egyptians, the children of Israel, the Hebrews, were kept safe. They would be aware of the festivals. They would be aware of the paganism. They would look forward to the festivals because it may mean no work today. And they would see the great plagues of Egypt, the 9 plagues of Egypt, with the following one, the death of the firstborn. They would be amazed. They would realize that they were being freed from slavery. They would tramp through the desert. They would come to the Red Sea. The Red Sea would part. They would see the death of the Egyptian army. They would go into the wilderness. There would be manna. There would be quails. There would be food. There would be water out of the rock. There would be the cloud during the day and the pillar of fire at night. Amazing! Isn't that tremendous? What impact that would have. But where was Moses on Mount Sinai? Goodness me, that lad, he's probably not going to come back. Let's make a bull calf, because it's just like the calf in Egypt. It's just like the Apis bull. And we are told that Aaron was complicit in this and said, bring forth your jewelry and your necklaces and your rings. Let's melt it down and cast a gold calf. Oh, but just a minute, he said, it would be good to give honor to Jehovah as well, and we'll build an altar to him, and we'll have a jewel festival for Jehovah and for the bull calf. They had seen all the amazing things that happened in Egypt. They had seen the work of Jehovah, and yet despite all that, they lost it. And here they were worshiping. And it was Moses who had to intercede with God and say, now don't destroy them, God, please. Give them another chance. And God relented. God changed his mind through the work and the prayers of Moses. They grumbled at him. In the New Testament, we see 12 disciples. 12 disciples who followed Jesus, who saw him raising the dead, who saw him healing the blind, who saw him cleansing the lepers, who saw him quietening the storm in the Sea of Galilee. We saw all these things, and yet, when it came to the crunch, they forsook him and fled. Now, I find that quite amazing. That people who were right up with Jehovah God and with Jesus his son, who saw the miraculous, at the moment of crisis, they lost it. In fact, it goes even further than that. We speak about Peter, James, and John in Matthew 17. They see the great transfiguration with Jesus speaking to Moses and Elijah. And a few chapters later on in Matthew 26, Peter says, I never really knew him. No, I didn't know him. No, I don't know the man. And with cursing and swearing, denies his allegiance to Jesus. Having known him the way he did. Now, when we see the incontrovertible power and presence of God so conclusively, it couldn't happen to us, could it? Could this happen to us? In Matthew 13, we read of the parable of the sower. The seed is sown. And the book says, some received it, but they couldn't understand it. But Satan made sure that they would not understand it, and it disappeared. Some received it with rejoicing. Yes, Lord, this is amazing. But then when they had trouble, and when they had problems, and when they had disappointments, they said, I'll no bother. I will ignore God. I will ignore relationship with him. Some received it and said, yes, Lord, this is amazing. But they found that persecution, we found that the worries of life, we found that all these things that crowded, they were so busy, as Ali says, busy, bound in Satan's yoke. Am I right? And they were so busy, give up on that. We're not going to follow Jesus. There were some who understood it and who faced the trials and got to a place where they said, yes, Lord, I'm not going to escape from this. I'm going to have your strength through it, and I'm going to conquer this situation in your strength. You see, in our busy, frenetic lives, you would be brought up to work hard at school, to do your best, get on well, try and be worthy of the family name and all this kind of stuff. And you get to such a situation where you become so busy and so taken up that you sometimes forget the main things in life, and that is relationship with Jesus. You get so exhausted, perhaps, and I may be speaking for myself, that when you're on holiday, you think, oh, it's a lovely day. We'll just we'll just go down to the beach. Ah, well, no bother with a quiet time of the day, though. Remember it tomorrow, maybe. Or you get so tied up with business and work that you don't have time to spend time with God. The comfort of habit. The Bible says, it's those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. And it's not rules, it's relationship. We give time to God to speak into our lives. We hear that still small voice. We are prepared to listen. We're prepared to interact with Him. We're prepared to obey Him. And He gives us the strength and the anointing. You see, the relationship is dynamic. It is not static. It is not a rule-keeping exercise. It is a relationship with the King. And that's the issue. And it's so easy to simply think, but I've done what is necessary, so I don't need to do any more. John 7 and 30 says, whoever believes in me, so the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. And by this he meant the Spirit. It is not static. It is dynamic. We are not ruled by habit or ritual. We are indeed part of what God is doing through relationship. Let me read from Luke chapter 18, and you'll all be aware of this. He told this parable unto some who trusted in themselves as though they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed these things about himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I tithe in all I earn. But the tax collector, standing at a distance, would not even lift his eyes to heaven, but struck his chest, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. And that's very interesting, because here is the man who's kept all the rules. He has followed what he had to do in the law. And what would our response be? What would Andrew Ingalls have to say? Oh, I regularly attend church. I go to church every Sunday. I even go to the care group, even when the weather's bad and even when there's something nice on the television. I tithe my money. But listen, I can be so easily distracted by business and life. And that is true. Maybe we think we've achieved because we attend church. We go to the care group. We do various things. And it's like the Pharisee. He lived by the rules. He had achieved the rules. Rules can be comforting, but they can also paralyze you. You have achieved, therefore, we don't need to do any more. John the Baptist said, Jesus would come and he would baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Bible says in Romans chapter 8, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. Now, if any man does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. And if Christ is in you, through the body, though the body is dead of sin, the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give to your life, to your mortal bodies through his Spirit that lives in you. Therefore, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh or according to the habit. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if through the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led of the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of slavery again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirits that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, we may also be glorified with him. And that's the great thing, that we are not tied to habit just to comply, that we are released in the Holy Spirit to have a relationship with him. The dynamic life in Jesus. We are renewed and revived so that we can expect the supernatural. Lord, fill us again with your Holy Spirit. Affirm our relationship with the risen Christ. Give us courage to reach out to others. Give us faith to see healings and miracles. Give us strength to take the testing that life brings. And Lord, through it all, give us the joy of Jesus as we relate to him. Amen. Amen. That's it. Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit. May we be done with the mechanics of attendance and rule keeping. And may we recognize that you are a God of the supernatural. And when we pray for each other, expect something to happen. Expect God to move in the situation, that we can see healings and we can see blessings. Amen.